Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling on the unofficial WWE podcast. My name is Mimi Burris, and today is Saturday, March 20th, 2021. I hope you have all had a wonderful week, and we've got a whole lot of wrestling to talk about, so you know the deal.
Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce. Oh!
I told you, I was gonna ruin yours!
I feed a whole family with this title!
All right, everybody, I hope you all had a wonderful week, like I said, and we are one day away from the Fastlane pay-per-view. Probably, like you've all already heard, the most uneventful pay-per-view of the year. But I think they're doing their best, we can say that. They are doing their best to make it seem important, and And then we're not too far away from WrestleMania, and it sure doesn't feel like it. I don't know, at least in my view. And with all that being said, we had a whole lot of weird stuff going on this week, from slime to the inexplicable two challengers teaming up for tag team titles, and a whole lot of other crap. Let's call it as it is. That's what we try to do here on this show. A whole lot of other crap this week, and so I guarantee we will be talking a lot more on the low portion of the show than we will the high. But let's start off with it. Let's change it up a little this week, and let's start on a high note, because I'm sure I will have a lot more to rant and rave about on the low portions of this week. And if you are one of these wonderful positive people in the world that doesn't want to hear me, you know, moan and complain about all the bad stuff I thought went on this week, you can just listen to the beginning of the show. And I will only give some high praise for some of the stuff that was really good this week, because there definitely was. So, yeah, let's start with the high for the week this week. Change it up a little bit. And I guess you could say I am calling an audible on my own show. But I guess I get to do that. So the high for the week was a clear, easy choice. Not a lot to think about, and we will get to talking about that for sure. But I do want to mention some of the other stuff that went on this week that I also thought was really well and deserves an honorable mention. Let's see if we can speak tonight, guys. I'm hoping we can, because we're just getting started. Like I said, a couple of stuff I like this week. I'm loving this Apollo Crews Big E rivalry. I think this is like the first time I'm totally okay with the fact that WWE has already burnt through like two or three of the matches between these guys, and I'm still totally excited to see another one. Just because I think, similar to like, I don't know, this is a weird comparison, but being like excited to see the eventual match between MJF and Chris Jericho. Yeah, the match has already happened, but the dynamic of this match of the last match and the upcoming match is going to be totally different. I feel the same way with this Big E Apollo Crews feud. Obviously, the two are in totally different places than they were when they first fought a couple times, I think, actually. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm loving kind of what's going on there. This week, Big E was a little bit weird. It got a little hokey this week, I think, with that side-by-side interview and then the golf cart chasing and whatever. I think it was a little hokey this week, but I get the idea, and I appreciate the idea, and I am willing to look past some of the execution, if that makes sense. The other stuff I loved on SmackDown, too, I'm looking forward to this whole Cesaro Seth Rollins thing. I think it's weird to say, but I guess Shinsuke is a good buffer for now, so we can hold this match off for WrestleMania and not blow it off on a pay-per-view like Fastlane. Other than that, on Raw, usually slim pickings to talk about anything in this category, but I thought Riddle and Mustafa Ali had a fun little United States Championship match. You know, if you want to ignore the ending, fine. And Bobby Lashley and Sheamus put on a hell of a match at the end of the show. And last but not least, actually, I guess I have a lot of stuff to talk about with Raw this week that I liked. But, you know, three things out of 3 hours, I guess, isn't a lot in comparison. But I'm pumped up for this AJ Styles, you know, Omos. I'm always going to mess that up. I'm going with Omos. I think we decided on the show that I'm going with Omos. I'm super excited for that match between AJ Styles, Omos, and the New Day at WrestleMania. I think it'll be super cool to see Omos in the ring for the first time. I'm sure there is no one better to be in the ring with than AJ Styles. And if you had to guess anybody else, I'd say Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. So I understood this title switch. I didn't like it, but I guess I don't even know if the ends justify the means, but whatever. The point being is I'm looking past that, trying to be somewhat positive about this and get hyped up about this awesome WrestleMania match, because AJ Styles has pretty much won every other title, I think he said, in WWE, but the tag team titles. Actually, I don't know if he's ever been a Universal Champion. But anyways, my point being is I'm excited for this. I think AJ Styles is so underrated lately from what he's doing. He is a high point of Raw for me every week. He is the definition of taking chicken, you know what, and turning it into chicken salad. So just a couple of things on Raw I really like too. NXT, there wasn't really a lot to love. So besides maybe the Dakota Kai-Zoe Stark match, but even that went on a little bit long. And Walter coming to NXT should be exciting, but I mean, this main event, we're talking about positive things. I said we're only going to talk about good stuff right now. And then AEW, which if you guys listened to my AEW review, I said I was not very high on the show this week either, but beautiful transition, not at all manufactured by myself, into the official high for the week. And we'll get right into it, was the unsanctioned Lights Out match with Thunder Rosa versus Dr. Britt Baker. So like I said, guys, if you heard me on my AEW review, you heard me ranting and raving about this. There was the only other thing on AEW that really, you know, got me as excited, or maybe not as excited, but at least involved or invested in, was the Pinnacle promo, or MJF introducing his stable, the Pinnacle. I thought, you know, wasn't the best MJF promo ever, but it was good nonetheless, serviceable, did its job. But moving on, like I said, this was the first ever main event for AEW for the women, and I couldn't think of two better women to actually main event other than Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker, the two stars of this division. I don't care if Hikaru Shida is the champion. I think Dr. Britt Baker is the face of the division, and ever since that heel turn has just been unbelievable. And then there's no more lovable baby face out there than Thunder Rosa in the women's division here. So great little match, I say, and when they're beaten bloody, great hardcore match, let's put it that way. For those of you who didn't see it, obviously, this unsanctioned, you knew it was going to be violent. And, you know, when you put a title like that on a match, it sets the standard that this has got to be violent. And I have to say, we've seen some awesome women's matches in WWE that have gotten very violent. And up to, I don't want to say up to the men's standards, but because they're just different. Some of these women's matches are 10 times better than the men's matches tenfold. But I guess what I'm trying to say is because of women's wrestling has not nearly been as elevated as it is now during the PG era, when you are not allowed to do all these things that they used to be allowed to do. So we haven't really seen like a hardcore, let me put it that way, a hardcore women's match, at least on mainstream television that I can think of, anything like what these two women did on Wednesday night. So what a great blow off to a feud. I mean, I have to say that my favorite shot from this whole match, and something I will probably never be able to get out of my head, is that picture of Britt Baker just literally doused in blood, like smiling over at the camera. She looked like, I don't even know what that, like just an animal, I guess is the best way to put it. Like, these two women put their bodies on the line, and for us, obviously, and for an amazing main event. One of my favorite spots was that, like I said, and then the ending, clearly, right? I mean, the head bumps that these two women took, I was blown away. And I believe that they're doing it with the most amount of safety that they possibly can. But wow. I mean, Thunder Rosa stopped bleeding about halfway through the match, but Britt Baker, I mean, if you saw anything on Twitter afterwards, her whole head, her hair, it was like she had I'm not even going to go try to make an image for you guys. It was downright bloody and hardcore. And these women showed that, yeah, women can get just as down and dirty as the men can and be just as entertaining. This is probably one of my favorite Lights Out match ever. And I haven't, I guess it doesn't have a lot of company to it, but I would say that, yeah, this is probably number one. I just think the story being told throughout the match was really well, and the story going into the match, right? These two women do not like each other, and if anything, maybe the feud was slightly a little bit overexposed because there's not a lot of other interesting women to have on weekly television. You pretty much see Britt Baker on every single Wednesday night because she draws ratings, and because there's not a lot of other big names in that women's division, at least mainstream big names, let me put it that way. So, I don't know. I don't know where this is going from here, but wrestling logic would tell you that the babyface won, so the feud is over. But I guarantee these two women will revisit this, and I guarantee that this match will be remembered as, you know, one of the first... this is a weird way to say it, but one of the first greatest women's matches in AEW history, if that makes sense, if not the first. I think it's time for AEW to continue to build its women's roster. I think some big names would really help. I'm really, really hoping that they get Thea Trinidad, formerly known as Zelina Vega. I think she would be a perfect fit in AEW. And, I mean, you guys, if you've seen in the news, Andrade is asking for his release, although denied. Hopefully it eventually works out for him, and to see those two in AEW would be unmatched. Random sidebar too. I don't know why I was thinking about this. All this Rhea Ripley coming soon, coming soon, coming soon stuff. I was thinking, man, she would run that women's division in AEW without a doubt. She's got the look. She's got the talent. I guarantee she could elevate almost all of the women on that roster. So never probably going to happen, but just a thought, and never say never in wrestling. Before we move on from this, I just want to say, like, kudos to these two women. Put their body on the line, like I said. Absolutely breathtaking. Some of these spots, the thumbtacks, there's something about thumbtacks that just makes everybody cringe. This was unbelievably violent, but not just violent for violence sake. And I don't want to repeat myself too much if you guys listen to the AEW review. So if you want to hear anything more about this, I talked a little bit more in detail
on my AEW Dynamite Review podcast. And before we stop talking about this, I do want to give it a little bit more justice and throw a tiny bit of audio from this on here. So if you haven't seen it, maybe I convince you to go watch this match. And if you did see it, you get to relive some of these amazing spots. I'm going to cut some of it up, obviously. And yeah. So let's listen to some audio from this match, you guys.
She better duck. Oh, hell.
Oh!
Drop the ladder driven into the face of Britt Baker, courtesy of Thunder Rosa.
Britt is bleeding now.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Thunder Rosa botting that cut.
Oh, flatlined into the ladder. Lockjaw's applied.
There's no way. There's no way they can stop it.
Oh, but Rosa,
there's no way they can
roll her back into the thumbtacks.
She rolled her back into the thumbtacks again.
Can't say anything more about this. I will move on to my lows and honorable mentions and all that good stuff for the week, and then we'll get into some emails. But like I said, guys, just a beautiful day in women's wrestling, especially in AEW, that was a company that definitely needed some women's wrestling elevation. For again, no pun intended. So let's talk about some lows for the week, and let's get into some of the crap this week. So if you're in a good mood and a positive attitude, this is where you might want to tune out, because some of this stuff was just bad, guys. It was bad.
I mean, as I'm looking over my notes, it's kind of like the real question here is, like, where to start, guys. I mean, we could go over to NXT, and there's this weird Austin Theory, Dexter Lumis thing going on that's had its high points, but this week was not one of them. And obviously there was the COVID outbreak in NXT that's probably not helping the situation this week. This whole main event picture with, what's it called? Finn Balor and Karrion Kross teaming up for the tag team titles. And then, like, when you throw a title match, right, for in this case, right? So Karrion Kross to essentially to get one up on Finn Balor, and obviously because Finn Balor accidentally, you know, got Scarlett knocked off the apron, I think. I don't remember exactly what happened, but Scarlett got involved by incidental contact, somehow produced by Finn Balor. Let's say that. I don't remember exactly what went on. But my point being is, you know, Karrion Kross hits him from behind, throws the match essentially. Like, you've now devalued your NXT championship, tag team championship, excuse me, because one, you get an automatic, you know, challenge for this match due to seduction, and we sent, you know, women's wrestling about 10 years back in one segment, it felt like, with this whole Scarlett, like, trying to seduce Loni and Orkin to the tag team title match with Finn Balor and Kross later that night. It's a weird segment to open the show, and not a great match to end the show. I'm so sick, and this is a perfect transition, right, into the SmackDown stuff I want to talk about. I'm so sick of this two challengers, right, or two opponents for WrestleMania or any pay-per-view teaming up to face the tag team champions. Because first of all, if you're trying to build up a tag team division, stop putting two singles stars together and calling them a tag team. Build up tag teams. And I understand in this case, especially with the women's division, that's kind of what it takes to start creating some tag teams. Okay, I'm fine with that. Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks are not a tag team, though. Why are they getting a second title match at Fastlane? Yes, I've moved on over to Bianca Belair now and Sasha Banks. Why are they getting a second tag team match? I don't get it. I don't understand this whole thing. I feel like the only reason this isn't my, like, official low for the week was because, one, it's just too much of a mess to try to pile on and analyze. It's almost not even worth analyzing. God, it's getting late, guys. It's not even worth analyzing to this point. It's the same crap. Why is Reginald having anything to do with this? Like, fine, if you want to have Nia Jax and Reginald have their own little thing, cool. I'm looking forward to this Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax breakup and match eventually, I assume, might take place at WrestleMania, considering Shayna Baszler straight up kicked Nia Jax. That I don't think that could have been a botch. There has to be something about that that was meant to look like that, or at least that's just me. It probably wasn't, guys. It was probably just a terrible botch, but maybe they'll take it and finally break this tag team up, because that's the only thing that's exciting about this anymore, for me at least. Oh, this is just a whole mess of crap that I am so uninterested in. Michael Cole on commentary, all SmackDown, period, should be my low for the week. He's so frustrating. Even this time he was like, oh, the boss or whatever, but he didn't even say it with, like, enthusiasm. It was like he's literally, there's like a literal quota that he has to say that a certain number of times during the show, and he was just like sick of it and just threw it out there. The most refreshing part of commentary all SmackDown was Dolph Ziggler, because Dolph Ziggler is incredible and can pretty much do anything, right? Jack of all trades, for sure. Got it. Michael Cole was driving me nuts with this tag team matches, though. The Mysterios versus the Street Profits and Mysterios versus Alpha Academy. Oh my, he's like, any of these tag teams or whatever are worthy of a tag team title shot. Well, any of these, there's three. You're talking about three tag teams total, right? The Mysterios, the Alpha Academy, and the Street Profits. That's not a division, guys. Four tag teams are not a tag team division. Sorry. That means you have a 25% chance of holding the title. So unbelievably badly booked and sad. They need to, if they're going to have a tag team division, they need to do something to better this, because it's getting bad and bad and bad. And worse and worse and worse, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Can we talk about Tamina, though? Guys, can we talk about Tamina? If you have listened to me on, especially Matt's review show at the end of the week, I am for Tamania. Hashtag Tamania. Tamina is my girl. I love Tamina. I loved Tamina when she was, like, the bodyguard or the heavy for AJ Lee back in the day. I think Tamina's got a lot of untapped potential. She's definitely a bigger woman. She's trimmed down a lot, though. She looks incredible. Not that she needed to at all, but she looks awesome. Finally, she wasn't wearing, like, an all-black leather outfit this week. You saw she was doing a promo on Instagram. Like, she's... Natalya and Tamina are trying to, like, revitalize their careers, and I don't really need Natalya in any more of a role nowadays than just helping the other women in the back get better at the standard wrestling things, because Natalia is exactly what she is. She's a veteran, and she knows what she's doing in the ring, but she just never had that it factor, and honestly, she's annoying as all hell for me. She's got go-away heat for me, and I don't think there's anything she could do to really change that, but she's had some heartfelt moments and some good moments for sure, but I don't know. I guess she's just not my cup of tea, so that's definitely a subjective opinion. But I'm all for Tamina, guys. I was psyched when Tamina had that whole rivalry with Bayley. That was like the most we ever got to see of Tamina. And I think Tamina could really do something before, obviously, I'm sure her time is kind of running up. She's been around for a while now, almost Natalia status a while. And whether you put her in the bloodline status or whether you put her in the bloodline stable or she's doing this weird tag team thing or whatever, you know, get her doing something important, because Tamina, I think, has got more than meets the eye, and a lot meets the eye, in my opinion. So just want to throw that out there. I'm all for Tamina getting any kind of TV time, and hoping that they actually do something with her. But kudos to them for trying to put together a tag team. It's clear, it's forced. This whole women's tag team thing is a joke. NXT women's tag team thing is a joke. It's just so terribly done. It's a great concept, but the execution is terrible, guys. It's just, this whole thing is, and it's bringing down other programs like Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. Should be as simple as like, bada bing, bada boom, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. All right, let's see who's better than the other person. Sasha Banks heel turn. Big baby face moment for Bianca. Bianca's the new champion. Bunch of fun, you know, defenses of that title until we get to SummerSlam, and maybe she loses it then. That easy. I just did that in 2 seconds in my two-bedroom apartment. And you've got 400 freaking writers that are just tarnishing this whole simple, easy, like this. When, as soon as Bianca Belair won the Royal Rumble, everybody was like, Sasha, it's Sasha. It's got to be Sasha. That's how you know it's that easy. And man, they're doing everything they possibly can to ruin this. And how much was wrong with Raw this week? You had the Lana and Naomi versus Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. This match got interrupted by Asuka and Shayna Baszler. What? Like, if you want to showcase the women, showcase the women. This gave me weird flashbacks to that time. It was like Mickey James versus someone on Raw back at the Performance Center, and Seth Rollins just came out during the middle of the match, and we missed the whole match. Might have even been Lana. Oh, The Miz and Drew McIntyre. I actually didn't mind that opening segment that much, but it was too long. Ugh, there's just so much, so much wrong going on Raw, and I talked about NXT already. If you guys want to hear me talk more about AEW, wasn't a great show either. This great-looking match of Cody and Penta did not deliver, in my opinion. The 10-man tag team match was just sloppy. Another Sting interview, because guys, if you didn't know, Sting's on AEW, so tune in, because Sting's on AEW. He doesn't do much besides stand there and maybe say a word or two, but Sting's on AEW, if you guys can sense my sarcasm. But all that being said, we're going to move on to the official low for the week. By the way, real quick though, where's Charlotte Flair? Just was like, oh, I want to, hopefully she doesn't have COVID, but I want a challenge for the Raw Women's Championship. Where are you, Asuka? Asuka shows up the next week, and Charlotte Flair is nowhere to be found. Someone makes sense of this to me. And where's Rhea Ripley, guys? Rhea Ripley, if anybody can save this women's division and somehow make it entertaining despite the writers in the back and Vince McMahon, and just, like, if we can put some faith in the workers, kind of similarly how we had to do with Sasha Banks and Bayley over the summer, it's Rhea Ripley. I'm waiting for it. I'm hoping that she takes the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. Sadly, I feel like it won't be as big of a moment as it should be, because that title is so devalued. But, you know, they can turn that around real quick. So, all right, with all that being said, I'm sure I missed a bunch of other more crap this week, because there was, like I said, just a lot of it. That's the word of the day, is crap on this podcast. It's like bitch on WWE programming. Anytime it comes to WrestleMania time, I just say it over and over and over again, because makes it intense, I guess. I hope I can say that on this show. I feel like I question this every podcast. All right, whatever, guys. We're moving on to the low for the week. It's getting late. I'm getting tired. The low for the week officially was Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman and essentially the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards slime party that we had. Oh, my gosh. Shane McMahon has done some great stuff in his day. I'll give him that. And he's got the privilege. Not privilege. That's not what I mean. He's got plenty of privilege, but he's got the ability to be able to take these giant bumps and not have to wrestle the next night on Raw or SmackDown or whatever, right? So that's why Shane can do all this cool stuff, obviously. And so, yay, Shane's going to jump off something really high at WrestleMania. Fun. Or Fastlane or whatever. But, oh my gosh, I don't even want to go through what happened on this, but we're going to. And I didn't even bother taking any notes on this, guys. It was that bad. But so, essentially, Strowman comes out, demands a match because last week Shane went, Braun. And Shane calls him stupid a bunch. They yell at each other. Shane accepts the challenge. And then later on in the show, Shane pretends to do some cardio outside ringside, is what this says online. But no, it's not cardio. Shane does the hopscotch outside the freaking ring. Hopscotch. What? Who set that up for him? And have you guys, I mean, maybe I'd like to hope that you've never made fun of anybody in your life, but we've all probably done it at least once. Have you ever gone to the actual effort of getting something like a hopscotch thing set up outside of the ring just to make a joke and not a good one at someone else's expense? Oh my God. Whatever. Braun Strowman, you know, essentially gets his hands on Shane eventually, starts throwing him around at ringside until he starts to do the whole Strowman Express, which, by the way, Strowman is running a lot slower than he used to with that. It's not looking nearly as intense, or I don't know if it was just this week because he knew he was taking a camera bump, but I mean, he took a full camera bump right to the head. A couple more, gets on the table. Shane jumps off of something high onto the table. We've seen it a million times before. And that table is so, I mean, 9 times Lana went through that table. It means nothing at this point. And then Shane goes and grabs 2 buckets of green slime and dumps it on Braun Strowman. The match never starts. Does anyone give a crap about Shane versus Braun Strowman? If you do, please email me. I'd love to hear what about this makes you enjoy it, because I don't have it. Again, I've said it before on the show, wet paint drying is more interesting to me than anything Braun Strowman has done. I'm just, maybe in the beginning of his whole run in WWE was a little interesting, but I couldn't care less about Braun Strowman, man. I couldn't, and I feel bad about that. And I never want anybody to lose their jobs. And I think there's definitely a place for Braun Strowman in WWE. I mean, look at him. Stop letting him talk on the microphone. Stop, you know, I take that back. Stop letting him spit on the microphone. And stop putting him in those green muscle nipple showing t-shirts. I'm so done with it, guys. This was bad. And what, Shane hasn't really even, like, cool, Shane's called him stupid, but like, I love that last week, the thing that set him off was Braun. Like, okay, he said your name a couple times. Like, it's so stupid, guys. And Braun looks really stupid, so it's just proving Shane McMahon right. I don't want to see Shane get his butt whooped by Braun. I want to see Shane get his butt whooped off TV. That would be great, but maybe they'll prove me wrong and have a banger at Fastlane and WrestleMania, but I doubt it. An early Fastlane prediction, guys. This goes to a non-finish, doesn't even get started, or something along the same lines that they did on Raw. I don't get it. Hopefully they prove me wrong this Sunday at Fastlane, but I have a feeling that they will not. So, yeah, that's my low for the week, guys. Braun versus Shane McMahon. And, you know, Braun got to take home the blimp and the green slime. God, what a mess this whole thing is. So yeah, that was my low for the week. And before we get into a random match recommendation, guys, I do want to get into some emails because I have a couple from you guys. And I think we just got the usuals this week, but I do want to make sure we read those and get a quick response to that. And this first email comes from DJ Kuzmo. Once again, thank you, DJ, for always emailing and sending in your thoughts on the show. This one's from about a week ago, so just food for thought on that. But he says, hey, Mimi, totally agree with you that there are too many title belts in WWE. It's lazy booking and lack of investing in proper storylines. Couldn't agree more, DJ. Can we point out, too, that they can't even build a championship storyline, really? I mean, even this whole Edge, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns thing is getting diluted because now I don't want to see Edge in the main event. I want to see Daniel Bryan. I don't get it. All right, you continue on and say, also, I agree with you that Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai should not have lost the tag titles. Shouldn't have even had tag titles in the first place. But you continue saying, I absolutely hated the decision to have the new tag champs and not see Kai and Gonzalez have a deep run at least 3 months as the tag team champs. I'm a huge Shotzi Blackheart fan, but this was not time for her and Ember Moon to get the belts. AEW should stay with 4 main titles. Thanks, Mimi. Your rant got me fired up. Keep up the good work. Well, I'm glad I got you fired up because, as you can clearly tell, I'm fired up about this stuff. Getting me all re-fired up. I'm going to go for another 40-minute rant on these women's NXT titles. I understand. I'm with you. I don't think they should have lost the titles because I don't think they should have had the titles in the first place. But I did see this week on NXT, it was a cute moment to see Shotzi Blackheart with her dad, obviously, you know, getting all excited. Poor girl, though, you know, this big exciting moment is for a title that means absolutely nothing. And then I have to disagree with you, DJ, though. I don't really want to see Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai go for like a 3-month reign because I want to see Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez break up. And I want to see Raquel Gonzalez go on her own for a little while. Post winning the title, obviously, I'd like to have maybe Dakota Kai turns on her and that's her first title feud or whatever. But, within a couple months, I'd love to see that friendship turn into a feud, as all of these things do. And they've been going strong for a while. So, but I guarantee maybe they won't do that because they don't have any women's tag teams in NXT. Maybe like 2 others? It's so bad, guys. It's so bad. Oh, and it's getting late. Okay. I got a nice email here from Aiden as well, who says, hi, Mimi. I hope you're well. Aiden here from Dublin, Ireland. Huge fan. One of my favorite podcasts each week, period. I listen to about 40 to 60 hours of WWE pods a week. Work from home for 40 hours and exercise madly for 20, then family life, LOL. Yeah, I'm with you, Aiden. I listen to a bunch of WWE podcasts, not just wrestling podcasts, period, all week. Keeps me going through my job stuff as well. You might have seen me give you praise on the shows on Patreon. Matt always agreed, Twitter too. To the point, it's Wednesday afternoon as I write this. I have seen Raw and 2 points, Mimi. First of all, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it. Always, always love a compliment and always love some constructive criticism as well. So you guys can always shoot that in my inbox too. But thank you, Aiden. Aiden says, 1, slapstick. My girlfriend walked in as Braun was slimed. I was legit embarrassed, especially as good moments in that show. This was just humiliating for the dude, but is this a fetish for someone out back? We got periodic slimings and pies in the face. Kayla Braxton was slimed a number of months ago, which is pretty unfair. Yeah, and also, you reminded me, that had to do with Braun Strowman, too. That was for Braun Strowman. God, they just want to fill that big beard and olive green shirt with slime, don't they? Sorry, you continue on and say, it's pro wrestling, it's not kids TV. Vince like pushing people into swimming pools. Is this for anyone other than Vince and maybe a couple higher ups? Johnny Ace. So, Mimi, is there any role for slime in WWE in 2021? Hint, no. Couldn't agree more with you. Is this your number one low for the week? Pretty sure yes. I'll give you $50 if genuinely wrong. Well, honestly, Aiden, I forgot you sent me that part of the email because maybe I wouldn't have made it my low for the week because I could totally use $50. But you were right. This was my low for the week. You got it. And in regards to Vince liking to push people in swimming pools, I forgot about that. Yeah, Vince is a bully. I don't, you know, old man or not at this point. I know he's done some good stuff too, some nice stuff for a lot of people. But I've heard a lot of bully Vince's humor. Let me put it this way. Vince's humor comes from, you know, when you're watching a kid or something and you can't get the kid to stop crying, so you start like hitting yourself or I don't know, whatever. Someone hits you by accident and the kid laughs and you're like, oh, gold, genius, right? So you keep doing it and you're like, why is this kid laughing at violence? And he just does, and that's what he finds. Like, that's literally the emotional intelligence of Vince McMahon's humor. Just want to throw that out there. And in regards to Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis, if you guys didn't see, rehired back into his old position as, I think it's talent management or something like that. Whatever. I hate John Laurinaitis, guys. Hate John Laurinaitis. I think if it were up to him, we'd be having a pillow fight match at WrestleMania, not the women in the main event. That is all I'm going to say on that. All right, so Aiden, you continue and you say, number two, jobbers. Do you see a place for jobbers? I look back growing up in the first half of the 90s, and I'm in my late 30s. These matches played their part in getting new talent over, but also new moves, new move sets. Rhea could be doing this now. I actually fear Rhea is going down the Emma-Emelina route. You don't want coming soon graphics for too long. Why are some indie and good local wrestlers not in the ring to get over talent returning from injury, various permutations? What does Mimi think of jobbers? That Jackson Ryder playing jobber for Damian Priest this Raw gone. Thanks so much for your work. Last week's show was the best. I feel 35, 40 minutes suits ups and downs. I love that. Maybe I should just change my show to the ups and downs because you guys, Matt always calls it that too. I couldn't care less, guys. The point is we're talking about wrestling. But so yeah, Aiden, you had a lot, and I think we're probably up to like 40 minutes already on the show. But again, I really appreciate all the nice comments, and I do see a place for jobbers. I think jobbers are a lost art, and I think this 50-50 booking is so bad because they have no jobbers. I don't know if it has anything to do with the pandemic. Someone will have to look back for me and tell me if they had a lot of jobbers before the pandemic started, but I don't know, guys. I don't think it's that much of a stretch to get some NXT trainees or something up there to do some jobbing for some talent. But in regards to your Rhea Ripley comment, I don't think Rhea Ripley needs jobbers, personally. I think Rhea Ripley should win the main event of WrestleMania. That's how highly I think of, not the main event, excuse me. I think Rhea Ripley should win the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. That is how highly I think of WrestleMania. God, guys. I think that Rhea Ripley should win the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. That is how highly I think of Rhea Ripley. I don't think she needs any more credibility. I think you guys got to see her in the Royal Rumble if you're not an NXT watcher. And if you're not an NXT watcher, you also saw her at Survivor Series a couple of years ago, and she dominated. Because really, if you watch NXT, you'd probably think less of Rhea Ripley considering how they booked her for the past year. So I'm super excited for Rhea Ripley. You gave me bad flashbacks, Aiden. Bad flashbacks with Emelina. Gosh, poor Emelina. I think she's doing great in TNA, not TNA, Impact Wrestling, if I'm correct. I could be wrong about that, but I do remember hearing good things about whatever she was doing on other promotions a while ago. So hopefully Emelina is doing great. I don't know her new ring name, but God, that was really bad. And it reminds me of, that's what I thought was going to happen with Carmella too, with all those weird promos. But yeah, they got to stop with this coming soon and just give us Rhea Ripley, please, because the women's division needs it. We need some fire. I hope night after WrestleMania, guys, I hope we see a lot of NXT call-ups, both women specifically, but some men too. I want to see some new blood in this roster because it's getting boring seeing the same matches over and over again. And I don't know if it's just because they don't know how to book new matches or if maybe we just, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but I want some new blood, guys, so. And yeah, I think Jackson Ryker can take honestly, guys, I'd like to see Jackson Ryker in a jobber position, period, for the rest of his life, because that's how I feel about Jackson Ryker. But that is a subjective opinion. As a character, yeah, I think Jackson Ryker can take a job, jobbing match anytime. I don't think he's nearly up on the totem pole. I think Elias is about as good as a jobber at this point as well. Weird when he had that long match with Damian Priest. Like, jobber matches, I want you guys to look over to AEW Jade Cargill this week. That's a jobber match. That's simple. She came out looking great, and she's got a feud already set up with Red Velvet. Like, that is how you book. And I am running out of breath. I am thirsty. I'm exhausted. And that's going to be it for this show, except I will not forget your random match recommendation this week, guys. And it is none other than Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 19 for the World Heavyweight Championship. I'm almost positive you guys are familiar with this match. If you're not, then go check it out. But yeah, I mean, this was This is a popular match, and I'm sure most of you guys have already seen it before. But like I said, if you haven't, go look it up. Check it out on the WWE Network while we still got the full network. And yeah, I mean, this was the infamous Shooting Star Splash, where Brock Lesnar almost like broke his neck, ended his career. Unbelievable match. Otherwise, in my opinion, great rivalry. Brock Lesnar, no Paul Heyman, weird to see, and Brock Lesnar. Young Brock Lesnar is kind of still weird to see, but with the rumors floating around that he might show up to face Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, make this match a triple threat, which, please, that would make this so much better, in my opinion. I'd love to see those three go at it, at least, if not at WrestleMania, at some time. I figured this would be my random match recommendation for you guys. So, like I said, go check it out. WrestleMania 19, Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar for the World Heavyweight Championship. I think that's what it was for. I could be totally wrong, guys. Again, it's night. It could have been for the WWE Championship, but I'm tired. So I hope you guys have a wonderful week. I will talk to you guys on the AEW review if you tune into that. And if not, then I'll talk to you guys obviously next week. But I hope you guys enjoy Fastlane. And I hope you, like I said, have a great rest of your week. And I will talk to you guys next time.